playwright Oscar Wilde once quipped, "If you can't say something nice about someone, then pull up a chair and sit next to me." There's a part of us that enjoys juicy gossip, especially if it's shocking, or if something bad happens to someone we don't particularly like, or if we think they had it coming to them. But when we ourselves, or someone we love, or someone we admire, is gossiped about, we're likely to be angered and deeply hurt. There's a scene in John Patrick Shanley's play, Doubt, and in the movie he also wrote based on his own play. And in this scene, the local parish priest gives a sermon about gossip. The priest told a story about a woman who went to confession, and on the other side of the screen was an old Irish priest named Father O'Rourke. The woman confessed the sin of gossip, but before the priest granted absolution, he told her to take a pillow to the rooftop of her apartment building and gut the pillow with a knife and then come back to talk to him. So she went home, took a pillow from the bed and a knife out of the drawer, and climbed up the fire escape to the rooftop of her building. She gutted the pillow and feathers flew everywhere. She went back to Father O'Rourke and he asked her what happened. And she said, "Feathers. Feathers went flying everywhere." And Father O'Rourke told her to go back and to collect every single feather and put it back in the pillow. And she said, "It's impossible. The feathers were carried every which direction by the wind. There's no way to take them all back." "And that," said Father O'Rourke, "is gossip." In today's passage from the book of James, James chooses a more ominous metaphor than feathers. He would rather talk about fire. He states how a small flame can set a whole forest on fire. And in case there was any doubt about where he was going with this, he then says that the tongue is a small flame of fire. Then he says it contaminates our entire lives. Because of it, the circle of life is set on fire. And he talks about how no one can tame the tongue. People can tame every kind of animal, but no one can tame the tongue. Here in chapter 3, James doesn't seem to offer us much hope about being able to control the tongue. But earlier in chapter 1, he had simply said that if anyone lacks wisdom, let them ask God. And I believe this also applies to how we talk, how we tell stories. You've heard of think before you speak. James seems to be saying pray before you speak. And hopefully this isn't sounding overly pious, but just simply pausing and praying, particularly about difficult things. Now, through the years, Christians have made various attempts to tame the tongue. When Dietrich Bonhoeffer was the pastor of the Fichtenwalde community in 1930s Nazi Germany, his community adopted a very strict rule concerning gossip. And that was that no one in the community could speak about someone else without that person being present, even if it was a compliment or something good or a prayer request about that person. No one could talk about anyone else unless the other person was present. Now, those in the Fichtenwalde community admitted that they were never able to follow this rule perfectly. It was too difficult to follow with 100% consistency. At the same time, they felt that their community life had been strengthened because they attempted to follow such a hard-to-follow rule. They found that they made careless or thoughtless remarks about others a lot less frequently. Another intriguing way to try to control gossip is to gossip only about what's important. And this idea comes from a short story by Lee Smith that's titled Between the Lines. The main character is Mrs. Jolene B. Newhouse. She's a gossip columnist and a committed Christian. She writes the gossip column for the little fortnightly paper that includes all the news from Salt Lake, North Carolina, and some other nearby towns. Now, there are 17 families in Salt Lick, 20 if you count the three families that live by the 5 Mile Bridge. It's that kind of small town community. And she says that her little column means the world to the folks in Salt Lick. If someone gets born or dies or gets married or divorced, takes a vacation to Ohio, she puts it in her little column. She says that people want to know these things about their neighbors. And she signs her column, "Peace to you from Mrs. Jolene B. Newhouse." She does this because she wants her column to end with a word of blessing, and maybe even a prayer. In her gossip column, she only chooses to tell what's important. For instance, she writes, "Mrs. Alma Goodnight is enjoying a pleasant recuperation period in the lovely modern Walker Mountain Community Hospital while she is sorely missed by her loved ones at home. Get well soon, Alma." She does not write that Alma Goodnight is in the hospital because her husband hit her up the side with a rake and left a straight line of bloody little holes going from her waist to her armpit after she yelled at him, which Lord knows she did all the time, once too often. She does not write about how Evan Goodnight is all torn up now about what he did, missing work and worrying, or how Alma liked it so much in the hospital that nobody knows if they'll ever get her to go home or not. Because that is a mystery. And I am no detective by a long shot. I am what I am, I know what I know, and I know you've got to give folks something to hang on to, something to keep them going. That is what I have in mind when I say uplift, and that is what God had in mind when he gave us Jesus Christ. And here ends my quote from the short story. And I agree with Jolene B. Newhouse to a point, but I don't think that domestic violence should be swept under the rug and relegated to the category of mystery. Finding constructive ways for communities to talk about domestic violence is actually very important and necessary. After all, someone wishing to remain in the hospital instead of returning home ought to be a red flag, no matter how modern or lovely the Walker Mountain Community Hospital happens to be. And likewise, in the opening illustration of the gossip sermon from the film Doubt, the context is that the nun played by Meryl Streep, who is the principal of a Catholic school in the parish, has been questioning Father Flynn about his inappropriate behavior around young boys. And the priest responded with a sermon on gossip that was a very thinly veiled attempt to silence any accusations against him. Clergy abuse of children is something else that should have never been swept under the rug. Of course, it should have never happened. But it is critical that we keep seeking out constructive ways to talk about what did happen and how it can be prevented, and not try to use a rigid understanding of not gossiping to squelch those conversations, because they need to happen. So I do like Mrs. Jolene B. Newhouse's idea of training ourselves to gossip only about what's important, although we need to have an expanded and proper understanding of what important is. Mainly that important does include uncomfortable but necessary conversations as well. And when we also think about what's really important, we can ask ourselves these questions. How will our words about others be a blessing? How will they be a way to help all of us figure out life? How will they be a way to tell stories about the people we love and care about deeply? How can our words bless and not curse? One writer, Kathleen Norris, even talks about how gossip can be holy. In her book, Dakota, a spiritual biography, she writes, "In Hollywood, gossip is big business, but in small towns, gossip is still small time. And as bad as it can be, venal, petty, mean, in the small town, it also stays closer to the roots of the word. If you look up gossip in the Oxford English Dictionary, you find that it is derived from the words for God and sibling. and originally meant akin to God. It was used to describe someone who has contracted spiritual kinship by acting as a sponsor at baptism, one who helps give a name to. She goes on to write that we are interrelated in a small town, whether or not we're related by blood. Story is a safety valve for people who live as intimately as that. And I would argue that gossip done well can be a holy thing. It can strengthen communal bonds. And here ends my quote from Kathleen Norris. And I'd like to share with you a little piece of gossip I heard when I first came to Covenant. It was about a woman named Ra Black. The Ra stood for Ruth Ann, but she didn't go by Ruth Ann or even by her initials R.A. She went by Ra. And when she was young, she had trained to be a professional dancer, but then she developed polio, and in her case, it became especially debilitating. And it was Ra Black who painted the murals in the breezeway. They are representations of the murals in Ravenna, Italy. And Ra Black recreated them, which took tremendous effort and resilience, especially given the debilitating effects of her bout with polio. And this is the kind of gossip we should share with each other. Stories of resilience and faith. Stories about the mysteries of life, and stories about the mysteries of faith that elude simplistic answers, and stories of people living faithfully before God, doing their best to live as disciples of Christ, even with all of their unresolved questions. And the more we share these kinds of stories, the more we will learn to listen to each other and encourage each other. And when we share these kinds of stories, we are training ourselves to gossip only about what's important. All glory and praise be to our God.